Today's daf is Bab Basha Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We're holding on the very top of Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amar Aleph. The Gemara is going to now quote a second brisa that also relates to the Isser of Tisov Nachla, of diverting a Nachla away from the original Shevet. And the Gemara is going to have four possibilities of how we know that when the Pasuk says, Mimateh Lemateh Acher, that it refers to Mesibas HaBal, that it refers to specifically through the husband diverting the Nachla, as opposed to through the son. So the Gemara is going to have four possibilities, the first two that it rejects, and then the last two that it does not reject. Then the Gemara is going to have two rayas that a Baal is not Yorish his wife, b'ra'ui k'b'muchzak. We know that there's a halacha that a b'chor is notal pishnayim, but not b'ra'ui, is not notal pishnayim, b'ra'ui k'b'muchzak. Only that which the father already had does the b'chor get pishnayim, but that which the father will one day have, or is going to be entitled to receive at the time of his death, that the b'chor does not get pishnayim. So the Gemara is going to show that the same is true with Yerushas HaBaal as Ishto, that the Baal is only Yorish as Ishto with that that the wife already had, but that which was only ra'ui for the wife to have, the Baal will not be Yoresh as Ishto. Then the Gemara is going to teach us that Ben Kodem Labas applies even to a secondary Yerusha, meaning not only to a Yerusha that comes directly from a parent, a Yerusha that comes from an uncle or something of that nature, some other type of relative, and there are multiple siblings who are in line to be Yoresh, Ben Kodem Labas applies in that situation as well. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss how dividing Nachalos has the same status as being dan dine mominus, and that's why it can only be done during the day, and other halachos relating to having a beis din involved in dividing nachalos, that on some level it has the same status as dine mominus, and we have to keep that in mind. We have certain hakpados of exactly how it's done. So let's begin at the very top of daf kuf yud gimel amud aleph. Tanya idach. We have another braisa that says as follows: Velosisov nachla mimate lemate acher, that you cannot divert a nachla from one shevet to another shevet. Besibas habal akasum medaber. This pasuk is talking about that it's being diverted because of the husband. She marries someone from outside of her shevet, and therefore when she dies, the husband is going to yarshin her, even though whatever Yerusha she received was from her father's shevet. So atomer besibas habal, oenel besibas habein. Are we sure that it's besibas habal? Maybe it's besibas habein. Maybe we're talking about not that the husband yarshins her, but that her son yarshins her, and in that way, the nachla is taken away from her shevet. When the pasuk says, in Bamidbar Lamedvav, Lotis of Nachla Bnei Yisrael Mateh El Mateh, the Sahare Sibas HaBen Amr. So now we know that that's talking about Sibas HaBen. That's talking about where the son diverts the Nachla. Hamani Mekayim Lotis of Nachla Mateh El Mateh Achar Acher B'Sibas HaBal Kasam Medaber. So what do we do with that first pasuk? It must be that it's talking about Sibas HaBal. So the so that's how we know that it's talking about Sibas HaBal. Says the Gemara, De Kuli Alma Mihas. Everyone seems to agree, however, that mimatel matah acher at the end of the day is b'sibas habal akasam medaber. That ultimately, that is referring to sibas habal. It's not referring to sibas haben. My mashma. What in that pasuk would teach us that that's the case? Now, the Rashbam rather points out, meaning this kasha is not really on the brisa that we just quoted. We ended yesterday with the brisa as well. In the brisa that we had in the end of yesterday's daf, we said that are we sure? So we said, yeah, because it says Lotis of Nachl Matel Matel Acher is for sure about Sibas Habal, so the other pasuk must be about Sibas Haben. That's the brisa that made the assumption that the pasuk Lotis of Nachlin Matel Mata Acher is about Sibas Habal. Our brisa made no such assumptions. Our brisa had to have a whole limud to figure out what this pasuk is actually referring to. So that's what the Rashbam says, the Tanakama Kabayilei. This question of why it's so obvious that Mimatel Mata Acher is a reference to Sibas Habal only works on yesterday's brisa. It doesn't work on today's brisa. The bish lama le brisa basraisa kra kamasfir libisibsa ben mishum dekarv li imot fe mibal. That the first of the psukim has to be talking about sibsa ben because he's more karov to the mother than the husband is. So yasim hatel matachar le sibsa bal. So therefore, by default, we have to say the other pasuk is talking about sibsa bal. V'lav mi mashmuus. But it's not because of any wording of the pasuk, any indications in the pasuk itself. It's simply that we say we have two pasukim that both talk about diverting the Yerusha. The first one must be talking about the ben. The second one must be talking about the bal. That's it. According to the second brisa, el mi yisura el tanakama da amar da haimi matel matacher pshitalei de besipas abal meiri. But the first brisa said that it was obvious that matel matacher was and the Brisa just had to learn out how I know that the other Pasuk is talking about Sibas HaBen, so then there must be some indication in the Pasuk itself, some wording, something that gives us a hint that this Pasuk must be talking about Sibas HaBal. So that's why this Kasha is only on the first Brisa, not on the second Brisa, because the second Brisa didn't assume that there's any special wording in the Pasuk that would teach us that we're dafka talking about Sibas HaBal. So anyway, so says the Gemara, so how whether, let's say it's going like the first brisa, how do we taka know that Matel Mata Acher is referring to Sibas HaBal? Four possibilities. Possibility number one, Simon Amar Rabba Bar Rav Shila Amar Kra Ish, that it says Ish must be a reference to the husband. Ask the Gemara, Travayu Ish Ksiv Behu. It says Ish in both Psukim, so that doesn't really help you. You can't use the word Ish as an indicator that it's Somat Sibas HaBal, because the other Pasuk, Somat Sibas HaBen, is also used the term Ish. So says the Gemara, you're right, we need another limud. Ela Amrav Nachem Bar Yitzchak Amar Kra Yidbeku. It says Yidbeku, and the Lashon of Devekus is a Lashon of Ish and Isha. V'davak v'ishto is the Lashon that the Torah uses when it describes a man-woman relationship. So it has to be, that's talking about the Baal. Ask the Gemara again, Travai Yidbeku Ksiv Behu. Both of the Pesukim say Yidbeku. It can't be that Yidbeku is the Limud. So says Gemara, Ella Amar Rava Amar Kra, Yidbeku Matos. It says Yidbeku Matos, that there's a combination, a connection between two different Shvatim. That only happens Al Yedei a marriage. That only happens when a woman from one Shevet marries a man from another Shevet. So now there's a connection between two different Shvatim. And then finally, fourth answer, Ravashi Amar Amar Kra, Mi Matel Mata Acher. It specifically use the term acher, that it's an outsider, it's another. So ben lav acheru, and a son is not an other. A son is still so connected to his mother, brakara davua, that kind of uber yerachima, whatever you want to call it, that a son is very much a part of the mother and not apart from, whereas the husband is from a different family, so he would be called an acher and not the son. So a number of things over here. First of all, of the four approaches as to how we know that the pasuk is referring to Sibas HaBal, so the first approach was that it says Ish. But who was the author of the first approach? Who said it? Who was the Bal Memra? So the Gemara had like an extra word thrown in there. It should have said Amarab Barav Shila, but it said Simin Amarab Barav Shila. So on the side of the Gemara it says Yesh Lomar Shehu Shem Amora, that Simon is the name of Namora, that this fellow named Simon said in the name of Rabba Bar Rav Shila, but it was actually the name of Namora. Rabbi Yaakov Emden in Lagos Yaivitz says that you have to say that, no, there's a missing word over here. It should say Aleph Yud Mem Simon, that we have Simon a lot of times in the Gemara, whenever we're going to have often, not whenever, but often when we're going to have several answers to a question, we'll give a Simon that indicates, one letter for each of the answers that we're going to have. So he said it should have been Aleph Yud Mem Mem Simon, which is Rashi Tevos of the four words that from which we would be Medayik, that the Amoraim tried to be Medayik, that the Pasuk is talking about Sibas HaBal. We first had Ish, that's Aleph, Yidbeku, that's Yud, Matos, that's Mem, and Mi Mata Acher, so Mi Mata Acher is another. other man, even though really it's the acher, it should have been sima, but or ima, but that's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden says. However you want to say it, whatever four letters are missing, there are four letters that are missing that would have been a simin to indicate that that there are four answers that are coming up. And then in the name of the Duke, they say in Masifta over here, quotes from the Tuktuke Sofrim, that in the Kisveyad we don't have the word simin in the Gemara, and it seems that there was some sort of simin to the Shemos of the Amoraim, to the names of the Amoraim who said this, but somehow that simin was lost, that simin is gone. Another point over here, and perhaps more critical, is that we tried two answers. The first answer we tried that we rejected. We tried two answers that we rejected, and then two answers ultimately that we accepted. So the first answer, why did we reject? We thought that the word ish indicates that it's talking about the husband. So the Gemara says, that can't be. Both psukim say ish. So what do we right away jump to? Oh, the word yidbeku indicates that it's talking about the husband. What does Gemara say? No, both psukim say yidbeku. You didn't realize that? I mean, the first answer was just rejected because you took a word that appears in both psukim, both the pasuk that's about sibas ben and the pasuk that's about sibas abal. So when you try again, shouldn't you make sure that you're not going to have the same, the same rejection, that you're not going to use a word that appears in both psukim? So Tosos says something startling, absolutely startling. Tosos on the top of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. This is one of those Tosos that you got to put in the back pocket and remember that it exists. Tosos writes, Shavayim sometimes the Amoraim were not such great experts in Psukim. And they forgot. They messed up. They didn't know the Psukim so well. So they bring the right. You know why they didn't know that the other Pasuk also had Yidbeku? Because they didn't know the other Pasuk. They didn't know the Psukim so well to know which words appear in one Pasuk, which words appear in the other Pasuk. They weren't such great experts all the time. V'chein matzinu b'sof shor shnoga chesapara. And Tos says, and we have a very similar thing that comes up in Maseches Baba Kama, Daf Nun Dalet on Beis Nun Hei Amud Aleph. Rabbi Chanina asks Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, why in the Dibros HaRishonos by Kibud Av Ha'Eim does it not say Tov, and in the Dibros HaChronos it says L'man Yitav Lach? So he said Ad Sha'atah Sho'alni L'manem Rabbeim Tov, instead of asking why it says Tov in the Achron, in the second set of Dibros, not the first, Sha'alni Im Nem Rabbeim Tov Im Lav. You should ask me instead whether that's in fact true or not, because I don't know if it says Tov or not. So they sent the Shad to Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chanilai, who was ruggled by Rabbi Shur ben Levi, who was a Baki Ba'agada. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Baba Kama. So what do you see from there, says Tosus? The only thing I can see from there is that they apparently didn't know. They honestly did. The Ten Commandments, they didn't know all the words of the Ten Commandments. They were not sufficiently familiar with the Psukim in, not even talking about Tanakh, with the Psukim in Chumash. They weren't even sufficiently familiar. Sometimes they made mistakes. So Achronim have a very hard time with this. Pnei Yeshua said, how could it be? Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba didn't know a Mefurish Pasuk in Aseres HaDibros. I feel Tinokosh Lobes Rabim Yodim. Everyone knows that it doesn't say Tov in the Luchos Rishonos. Furthermore, if you don't know, open up a Chumash. They had Sifrei Torah. They were definitely Yotzi in the midst of Kriyas HaTorah. They could have just gone, open up a Sefer Torah, and checked. They were too lazy to look it up. That's not possible that they were too lazy. The Gemara itself in Kiddushin, when the Kiddushin Daf Lamed, when the Gemara talks about how many letters there are in the Torah, what the midpoint of the Torah is, the Gemara says, why do we have to debate this? Take out a Sefer Torah and count it. So if we're willing to take out a Sefer Torah and ask that as a kasha of why we would even debate such a thing, because you could just count the letters of the Torah, and that's no simple task, counting the letters of the Torah. You have to have a tremendous focus to not lose count when you're counting the letters of the Torah. Okay, 400,300, oh, where are we? So you have to have tremendous, tremendous focus to count the letters of the Torah. So to just look up a pasuk, l'chara, should not be so hard. I was just talking to a sofer friend of mine, and he told me that when they first came out with the computer checking of Sifrei Torah, they put 100 Sifrei Torah through the computer, and 83 that were muchzik as kasher, were found to be possible. It's so hard. It's so hard to actually focus on an entire checking of the Torah. A human being has such a hard time with it. So this is easy. Just open up the pasuk and see what it says. Asks the Pnei Yeshua. And furthermore, so the Stechemet quotes from the Be'er Yaakov that it can't be Ola Ladas, and an Amora doesn't know a pasuk. So he says, even though the Stechem quotes from the Bar Yaakov says, I agree with his sentiment, but Tosos disagrees. Meaning Tosos clearly says they didn't know. And then he quotes from the Chidah that wonders about this Tosos, and especially in light of the Medrash and Shmos Rabbah that Kichalosolu Daberito, Rashi quotes on the pasuk Kichalosolu Daberito, Altir Kichaloso Ella Kikalaso, that a Talmud Chacham is supposed to be like a kala, just like a kala is muchshat b'chavdal l'tachshiteha, that she has 24 different types of tachshitin, so to a Talmud Chacham, in order to be eligible to be called a Talmud Chacham, he needs to be muchshat b'chavdal l'tzifrei Tanakh. He needs to know chavdal l'tzifrei Tanakh, otherwise he can't be called Talmud Chacham. So holy Amoraim, we're not muchshat b'chavdal l'tzifrei Tanakh, so that's very difficult to say. So in the Sefer Pa'as Hasada, Klal Chav Aleph, he suggests that of course they were Bekiyim in the Chavdal Sifrei Tanakh. What this means is, what this shows us is that that time was so valuable to the Amoraim that regardless of their mood, regardless of what they were going through in their lives, regardless of their ability to focus, they were always learning Halacha and talking about Halacha. That's why from time to time the Gemara will say there were two people traveling, they were by the market, they were doing, you know, they were here, and this Halacha came up. What do you mean this Halacha came up? They're in the middle of business now. Why are they talking Halacha? No, the time was so valuable to them that any moment that they can spare to discuss in Yanei Halacha, they would do so, even if their minds were not clear enough to even remember the Pesukim. Not that they didn't know the Pesukim. If they would sit down and focus, they would remember the Pesukim. But they were always, these conversations weren't always happening when they were at their prime focus hours. It was often just by the seat of their pants, they were just having whatever conversations they can in learning. Kasha better than the Teretz, you know, hard to, and those conversations made into the Gemara when they weren't focused at all. What does that say about our Masorah? That wouldn't be very good. I mean, it's a good Musar to know that they were always learning, but you'd imagine that they were always learning at a high level. So in the best answer that I thought was that I saw in the Pnine Halacha section of the Masifta, he quotes that of course they were Bekiyim in Chavdal Sifrei Tanakh, and he says it's a typo in the Tosos. It doesn't mean lo hayu bekiyin. What it should say is lo hayu medaktikin. Okay, so easy. Anyone could take an eraser and erase a word in Tosos and just change it, and then you answer all your kashas. No, but it's muchach in the lashon of Tosos itself that it doesn't mean that they weren't bekiyin. It's muchach that the word was lo hayu medaktikin. What does lo hayu medaktikin mean? That sometimes when they were quoting pesukim, they didn't quote everything exactly. Because how could you say, what does Tosos say, that pa'amim shalohayu bekiyin? You're either a bucky or you're not a bucky. You're not sometimes yes a bucky and sometimes not a bucky. If you want to say that some of them were bekiyim and other of them were not, so then there are better ways to say that. You wouldn't say lepa'amim, you say yesh mehem, that some of them were and some of them were not. No, what you have to say is that it means that they were not medaktik, to quote the psukim 100% accurately, but certainly that they were bekiyim in quoting the psukim. So that is the startling comment to Tosos and some of what the Achronim have to say about that Tosos. And then finally, at the end of the Gemara, when the final answer was, how do I know that the Pasuk Mimatei Lamatei Acher is talking about the husband and not the son? Because of the word Acher, that a son is not an Acher. Why didn't any of the first three answers think of that? So Rav Yosef Engel in Beis HaOtzer Maracha Aleph Klal Mem Zayin says the reason the other Amoraim were not medayik that way is because they hold that a ben is called an acher, meaning there's a machlokas over here. Can you call a ben an acher? Is a son an acher? Is only a husband an acher? Where do we find that anyone holds that a ben is called an acher? So Rav Yosef Engel points out, you find by a ben gadol, a ben that's over bar mitzvah, that he's called an acher in the sugyim ba metziyah dav tzadiyam and beis, that a person is, there's a halacha, that a person is not allowed be misares a behema, and if he, and there's a knas that if he was misares a behema, then he's not allowed to get any hana from it. He's got to give it away to somebody else. So that's, it's got to give it away to somebody else. He can't give it to his own child. So says the Gemara, yeah, but his child of a bar mitzvah he can. His child is a gadol, he's allowed to give it away, and that's a fulfillment of the knas that he's not going to work with the animal that that he was misares. Similarly, in Masech Sarach and Daf Chafeim Beis, by Geula Steachuza, that if you sell it to Bno Gadol, it doesn't, you don't take it away from him in Yovel to give to the Kohanim. It goes back to the father. Why? Because the Ben is an Acher. That if he sold it to his Ben Gadol, right, then it doesn't go. You don't take it away from him. You don't give it to the Kohanim in Yovel. It goes back to the father. Doesn't follow the same rules as being goelit himself. The ben, in fact, is an acher. So you see that these are that sometimes there is a shita that a ben is an acher. Says Rav Yosef Engel, this is just one example of such a shita. But it's only the fourth opinion. It's only Rav Ashi who holds that a ben is not an acher in this context. Okay, let's see the Gemara further. About halfway through the page. Kuf Yud Gimel Amalaf. Am Rabbi Avo, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Am Rabbi Yanai, Am Rabbi, Umatva Mishved Rabbi Shuv Ben Karcha. So Rabbi Avo says the name of Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yanai, in the name of Rabbi, and some say it in the name of Rabbi Shuv Ben Karcha. Minayin Lebal She'inu Nolto Barotli Kibamuchzuk. How do I know that a husband does not take Barotli Kibamuchzuk? Meaning we know the halacha is that when a Bechor takes pishnayim, he gets double the Yerusha, that's only with what, in what the father had at the time of his death. But that which was owed to the father, which the father is ra'ui to get at some later date, that the Bukhar is the same as all the other children, they split that equally. So how do I know that the Baal is not notel, but ra'ui kibamuchzuk? They have a similar idea when it comes to a husband being yoresh his wife. That a husband is only yoresh his wife, over here it's not about pishnayim, it's about getting Yerusha at all. That a husband is only yoresh things that his wife actually had when she died, but things that are coming to his wife later, but she didn't actually have possession of when she died, the husband does not get such a Yerusha. Shenemar, how do I know this? Because the Pasuk says, Uskuv, how these rayas will sound familiar, although we used them for a different limud before. Uskuv, holidus Yair, veyihi lo esrim v'shalosh arim. That Skuv was the father, he sired Yair. Yair had 23 cities, Be'eretz HaGilad. Well, Yair had 23 cities, sounds like Skuv did not own any of these cities. Minayin li Yair shalohay lo Skuv, how did Yair get cities that Skuv never owned? I would think he got everything that he had, Be'erusha. Elamalamit Shanasa Skuvisha, it must be that Skuv was married, Umesa Bechaye Morisheha, and she died while those who would bequeath things to her were still alive, so she didn't yet have possession of the fields at the time that she died, Umesu Morisheha, and then after she died, those who bequeath her property, those who bequeath property to her died only after she died. So Vyarsha Yair, that's why it went straight to Yair. It didn't go to Skuv, because Skuv is the husband. The husband only gets what she already had possession of at the time of her death. But these are properties that she did not yet have possession of at the time of her death, because those people who are bequeathing it to her were still alive. She only got possession of it after she died, and that goes, that skips the husband, that goes straight to the son. So that is one raya. Vi'omer, and a second raya that a husband only yarshins b'muchzak but not b'ra'ui. Pasuk says ve'elazar ben Aaron meis ve'yikbru. Elazar ben Aaron died, and the pasuk describes that they buried him in Givas Pinchas Bino, in the Giva of Pinchas his son. So again, same kasha. Minayin lePinchas shelo ha'ilal Elazar. How did Pinchas have anything that Elazar didn't have? So malamit shenas Elazar isha, must be that this is exactly what happened, that Elazar got married umesa bechaye morisheha, and the wife died while those who would bequeath property to her were still alive, so she was not muchzak in that property at the time of her death. Umesu marisheha, and then those who were going to bequeath her property did in fact die. V'yarsha Pinchas. So Pinchas got the Yerusha and not Elazar, because the halacha is that a husband only gets that which is ra'ui, but he does not get that which is muchzik, rather, but not that which is ra'i. He only gets that which the wife already had possession of at the time of the at the time of her death. Umay v'yomer, why do I need a second pasuk? Meaning both of the pasukim seem to say the same idea, so why is one pasuk not sufficient? V'chitema ya'ir davanasav itza umesa v'yarta, because you might say, no, you know how Ya'ir got all these cities that Tzguv didn't have? It must be, not that he yarshened them from his mother, and it was ra'ui to the mother. No, none of that. It was that Ya'ir himself got married, and he yarshened it from his wife. In fact, that's what we use these pasukim to teach us earlier, that there's a din of Yerusha Sabal, that Yair himself was able to yarsh in these cities from his wife. So that's why Tamalomar Velazar ben Aaron Mace. That's why Pasuk says Velazar ben Aaron Mace. So to tell us that there's a second pasuk to teach us not only Yerusha Sabal, but that a man can be Yorish that which was Ra'ui to come to his mother, but a husband cannot be Yorish that which was Ra'ui to come to his wife. Unless you say that no, maybe the story with Elazar and Pinchas was that Pinchas received those fields because those fields were made charamim, and therefore they go to a Kohen, and that's how Pinchas got them without Elazar ever having them. So that's why the pasuk goes out of its way to say Amar Kra Bino. Pasuk says that Dafka Elazar Bino. Why does it have to say Pinchas Bino? Why does it have to say Bino? Obviously it's Bino. We know the Yichus of Pinchas. Why does it have to say that they buried him in Givas Pinchas Bino? Just say they buried him in Givas Pinchas. So Nachla Ruyolo V'yarsha Bino. It's trying to emphasize that relationship to say that this was property that really could have gone to the father, but it didn't. It went to the son instead. Why could it have gone to the father? Because if the mother would have yarshened it while she was still alive, it would have gone to the father. It's only because her krovim were still alive when she died that it didn't go to the father, that it instead went to the children. I'm not sure why over here, of all places in Shas, Tosos chooses to emphasize this, but over here Tosos discusses a little bit about who is this Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Who in the world is Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha? What kind of name is Karcha? Who was Karcha that we have this Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha? So Tosos quotes in the name of the Ri that Karcha is none other than Rabbi Akiva. That's who Karcha was, because it says the Ben Azai says in Maseches Bechoros Daf Nun Ches that Kol Chachmei Yisrael Domin Lefanai Kiklipas Hashum. All the Chachmei Yisrael are like a garlic peel next to me, Chutz Min HaKerach Hazeh, except for this bald guy, meaning except for Rabbi Akiva. So Karcha was a nickname that they used for Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shua Ben Karcha is Rabbi Shua Ben Rabbi Akiva. And Tosfos says, and that makes sense because we do find that Rabbi Akiva had a son named Yehoshua. So it makes sense that Rabbi Shua ben Karcha would be Rabbi Shua, the son of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Natam rejects it. He says, even though Ben Azai said such a lashon, in lashon of Bedichus, but it's still a lashon of Ganai. The Gemara wouldn't have done it. Ben Azai is allowed to say it, you know, but we're not allowed to go around calling Rabbi Yeshua, calling Rabbi Akiva the baldy. That's not a nice way to refer to Rabbi Akiva. It's unlikely that that's how the stum of the Gemara would refer to Rabbi Akiva. In the Shara Gilgulim, there the Chida quotes in Pesach Einayim from the Shara Gilgulim that the Arizal said that he himself saw both Rabbi Shua ben Karcha and Rabbi Shua ben Osho Rabbi Akiva, and they're not the same person. I don't know what any of that means, but I do know that it means that the Arizal thought that they're not the same person, that Rabbi Shua ben Karcha is not the same as Rabbi Shua ben Akiva. In the Sefer Amat Shmuel, he says it could be that it is Rabbi Akiva. The reason they call him Karcha is because he became Karcha B'yama. What does that mean? Not physically bald, that he lost his hair, but that he lost his 24,000 Talmidim, and that's our Daf Yomi coincidence for today, that tells the Dafka discusses this in today's Daf, and Lamed Dalid Ba'omer, which according to Sephardic tradition, is when they stop dying. That's a Sephardim only shave and take haircuts on Lamed Dalid Ba'omer, not Lamed Gimel Ba'omer. The Gemara never makes mention of Lamed Gimel Ba'omer being anything special. We don't know of any, the Gemara, Rishonim, don't really really talk about it either. Very little in Rishonim about Lag B'Omer. Lag B'Omer as a holiday sort of came later, especially all the practices of Lag B'Omer. But the Sfardim observe Lamed Daled B'Omer as the day. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The Lamed Daled B'Omer is the day that they stopped dying. So anyway, so that's what it means at Karcha, that he lost his 24,000 Talmidim. That's the I just heard last night someone was saying that, you know, the Pri Chodesh asked the Kasha, why would we celebrate on the day that they finished dying? The Pri Chodesh's Kasha is they finished dying because there were none left. So why would we so the Gemara goes on saying, Yivam Samach Beis, it goes on to say that then Rabbi Akiva went to the Chacham Shabbadarim and he taught five, six Talmidim with whom all of Torah continued. So it's the celebrations that the Rebbe survived. Is that Rabbi Akiva was able to survive so that the Torah was able to continue. So they didn't all die. The Talmidim all died, but Rabbi Akiva survived, and that's worthy of celebration because it's from there that that the rest of Torah was able to emerge. But again, I'm not sure why Tosfos Dafka over here focuses on this point, but he raises this issue of who Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha may have been. Now, related to the actual halacha that we're discussing over here, the husband doesn't get bara'ui, just like a bechor doesn't get pishnayim bara'ui, the husband doesn't get bara'ui. So in the she'iltos, in Parshas Pinchas, he's not sure, what would the halacha be if someone owes the wife money? There was a halva'a, that, the halva'a bishtar, or even balpeh, someone owes her money. Is that called bara'ui? You know, a yerusha is called bara'ui, because it's not really hers. It didn't come to her yet. She had a father, an uncle, or whatever, that was going to bequeath her their property. Yeah, but until they die, it's not really yours. But when someone owes you money, you know, that's actually a little closer, that they owe you money. So he's not sure. Do we assume that that money that's owed is something that the husband can yarshin, or do we assume that money that's owed is something that the husband cannot yarshin? So the Gemara later on, Kuf Chafei, Rav Papa is going to say the Bukhar is not notal pishnayim b'milva, that even in a loan, the Bukhar does not get pishnayim. So if we're really learning this directly, you know, if it's really the same gedarim as a Bukhar, then the husband would not yarshin even that which is owed to the wife as a halva, and that's why I would have said b'pashtus, because l'chara, it's the same exact thing as the din of Bukhar, and many Rishonim assume that the husband is not Yoresh Bimilva. That seems to be the Pashtos. That's what Tosfos says in Daf Kuf Chafei, and the Ramban and other Rishonim as well. However, the Rimigash and the Yad Rama are both quoted as saying that a husband is Yoresh Bimilva, and it's different rules than Yerushas Bechor, because it's Dafka by Bechor where we consider a Milva only Ra'ui, since the Torah refers to the Yerusha of a Bechor as a Matana. So from there we learn that just like a matana cannot be chal before it's ba'aliyad hanosein, before you actually physically have possession of it, so too Yerush Sabachar doesn't go to him until it was biyad hamorish, until the person who is bequeathing it, the father who is leaving it over, actually had physical possession of it. But when it comes to a husband, the milv is considered muksak from the isha, that's muksak bin chasim, that are meshubator. There's no special lashon of matana, there's no special din that it has to be physically in her possession. It has to belong to her. On the books, it has to be in her possession. When she stands to yarshin something, even on the books, it's not yet in her possession. But when she is owed money with a halva'a, then on the books, it's already considered to be within her possession. That is the shita of the Rimigash. And the Rimigash says you could be medayik this from the Lashon of Rav Papa on Daf Kuf Chafei Am Beis, where he says, Hilchasa Ein abal notal bara'i kibamuksak, ve'ein abuchar notal pishnayim b'milve. So when it comes to the Baal, he just describes b'ra'i kibamuksak. Yeah, when he's passing the halacha of a b'char notal pishnayim, he dafka singles out a milve. So it sounds like only by a b'char do we say that a milve is part of a ra'i and not part of muksak. But by the Baal, the milve is considered muksak. It's not considered ra'i. So the Rashba quotes that diuk and he rejects it. There's a lot of discussion in the Rishonim on this point. But that's the the reason for a distinction is because of the lashon of matana that was used. Okay, let's see the Gemara further now. Ubnei achos. So the Mishnah said, so on the bottom line of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, ubnei achos. The Mishnah said that one yarshins his uncle, meaning a man dies and he has a sister and the sister has children. The man doesn't have any of his own children. He doesn't have any brothers. So and his sister is dead as well. So his sister's children will yarshin him. So Tana b'nei achos velo b'nos achos. The Bryson teaches us, yes, his sister's sons will yarshin him, but his sister's daughters will not yarshin him. So the Gemara is troubled by this. L'may hilchasa. What do you mean? What are you trying to tell me doesn't happen when it comes into the laws of Yerusha of a nephew? As Rashbam says, Havada Yarshos Achi Iman. It has to be that girls can also yarshin their mother's brother, Shreya Basya Reshas Ima, because the daughter yarshins her mother. So if the mother would have been the Yoresh and the mother is deceased, the daughters will yarshin. Shari Isha Yoresh. So it can't be that we're saying that a man who dies, that his sister's daughters could never get the Yerusha. That's not possible. So what do we really mean to say over here? What's this Braisa actually teaching us? Amrav Sheshas the Kadim. It's teaching us that there's a din kedima of banim over banos. Tani Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak amed Rav Huna v'yarash, because we darshan v'yarash makish Yerusha Shnia liYerusha Rishona, that we compare the secondary Yerusha to first level Yerusha. Ma Yerusha Rishona ben kodem l'bas. Av Yerusha Shnia ben Kodem L'bas. Just like in Yerusha Rishona, the son comes before the daughter, so to in Yerusha Shnia, the son comes before the daughter. What exactly is a Yerusha Rishona and Yerusha Shnia? So the Rashbam writes, Yerusha Rishona is when the son or the daughter yarshin their parents, their father. And that's what the Torah talks about, Mefarish in the Torah, that Ben is Kodem Lirash, and the Bas is not Yereshes, unless there's no banim. Yerusha Shnia is someone who doesn't have sons or daughters. It's when you start talking about uncles. That's Yerusha Shnia. Yerusha Rishona is, you know, the way Yerusha is supposed to work in an ideal world where a parent dies and passes on the Yerusha to their children, and that's that would be ultimately the way things should be. Yerusha Shnia is when you don't have such relatives. You don't have children to pass on to, so that's what we'd call Yerusha Shnia. The Tosos in Dibra Maskel Makish says Yerusha Shnia is Yerusha of grandchildren, that they yarshin the grandparents when the middle generation is no longer alive, because that we derive from the Pasuk V'im Ein Lo. So you see that it's including the Pasuk of Yerashosa, from we learn from which we learn that a ben is called the labas. So and it's by extension from there, from grandchildren, that we say ben called the labas, that we assume all other Yerushas as well. So it's not directly about the uncle, but we figure out that it relates to the uncle because Yerusha Shnia is talking about the grandchildren. The Ritva quotes from a Yesh Misha Piresh that Yerusha Rishona is Yerusha Saben and Yerusha Shnia is Yerusha Sabas. And that's what we're saying, that Yerusha Shnia is Yerusha Sabas, that we're Makash Yerusha Rishona the Yerusha Shnia, that teaching us that there is such a notion that the Bas is by definition a Yerusha Shnia, that she's only going to get when there is no Yerusha Rishona, when there is no Ben, regardless of the relationship to the Morish, whether it's a parent or whether it's an uncle. Okay, Tani Rabba Bar Chanina, Kameder of Nachman, Vahaya Biyom Hanchilo as Banav. The Pasuk says, on the day where one bequeaths to his children. So the Braisa darshins, Biyom Atamapil Nachlos, Viatamapil Nachlos Belaila. One bequeaths to his children during the day and not at night. So says the Gemara, what does that mean? Amalei Abaye Elameata Deshachav Biyamamuhu Diyati Lebane Man Deshachav Belele Leyati Lebane. Does that mean that only when someone dies during the daytime the Dina Yerusha kick in, and if he dies at night, the kids are out of luck, the Dina Yerusha are not going to kick in, his children are not going to yashin anything? That can't possibly be. So says the Gemara, Dilma Din Nachlos Ka'amrit. Maybe we're saying that when it comes to being done on a Nachlan, who gets the Yerusha, That has to be done during the day, just like any other din Torah. The Tanya Vaisel Bnei Yisrael Chukas Mishpat Ura Kol Parsha Kula Lios Din. That the entire parsha, the whole parsha, is considered to be like a din. That it has to be treated like Dine Mamnus. And just like Dine Mamnus were only done during the daytime, so Dine Yerusha we are also only done during the daytime. Be'ez Hashem will pick up with that point tomorrow. That's going to take us well into tomorrow's daf already, about the idea that Yerusha is treated like Dine Mamnus, that can only be done during the daytime. Nice.